الرحمن الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب إله رب العالمين أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم ومبغضيهم وغاصب حقوقهم من أول يوم ظلمهم إلى لقاء يوم الدين. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لفاطمة: يا فاطمة، كل عين باكية يوم القيامة إلا عين بكت على مصاب الحسين، فإنها ضاحكة مستبشرة بنعيم الجنة. Recite one salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Salamun alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Can I take this opportunity to first of all thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have given me this opportunity to come to Portsmouth amongst mu'mineen here to share what I have gathered and what I know, and to also thank the executive committee of the Portsmouth Jamaat to have invited me here. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that our gathering in this next 12 days or 11 nights from today be fruitful and that we should gain and attain something. Although an insignificant slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will try my level best to impart whatever I know of the religion of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In our time, there are various methods of communication, mediums of communication. We see that sometimes it be home, whether it is in the school, or whether it is in the mosques or places of worship. But we, the lovers of Ahlul Bayt Salamullahi Alayhim, have got another medium of communication, and that is the majalises of Hussein ibn Ali, the month of Muharram, in which there is a medium of communication between each other, where ideas are shared, where knowledge is distributed, where the faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Ahlul Bayt is renewed. Having said that, we find that in certain communities, and I don't know about Portsmouth, so don't take it on yourselves, but in certain communities where there is this medium of communication between the pulpit and the people, we still find that the community sometimes lack dynamism. Concepts are pushed forward, but they are just as concepts. There is no faith in them. For this, there has to be a reason. Why is there a lack of dynamism in the community where there is a medium of communication, such as Muharram, for example? Scholars say that there is a need in any community when there is a discussion going on, when there is a majlis going on, when there is a person reading a book on something particular, there is a need of combining intellect with emotion. Because if intellect and emotion are not combined, then there may be something else in the minds of the people. But the need of transformation from within will not take place. It can never take place. It can never take place. For example, you will find those people who only look at the emotional aspects of things, and they do not contemplate on the intellectual aspect of that side. Thus, what happens is the concept is born, the concept is pushed forward, but there is no one who believes in that. Belief is scarce. The concept is there. Who can deny today that Allah has created us? Even atheists say that there is this Big Bang which has created this world. Well, there is a concept. They believe in that concept. It is not that they have only got a concept in which they do not believe. So the concept is there, but the faith is not there. Just because the emotional aspect of this thing has been taken into consideration, leaving aside the intellectual aspect. When both of these things are combined, the intellect and the emotion, that grips the person from within. It penetrates the heart, it penetrates the mind, and it transforms the person into being a good person. And the examples we have, such as Mitham, the Sahabi of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib salamullahi alayhi, such as Mitham, Salman al-Farsi, Aba Dhar Ghafari, they were not born Muslims, they were converts. But yet the concept of La ilaha illallah was given to them by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The concept of ilahiyat, the concept of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was given to them by the Holy Prophet, which they didn't only take it emotionally, but they thought about it intellectually, and that gripped them, transformed them so much so that Ali ibn Abi Talib Sahabi, this Mitham, he gave away his life, and we know how he did it. And we know how he died, because of the love of Ahlul Bayt. Now, similarly, if we take the example of Mitham, I mean, it's a great example that we have. That because of the love of Ahlul Bayt that he had and the love of Ali ibn Abi Talib that he had in his heart, he could do anything and he could face any tyrant that came in his way. So much so that Amir al-Mu'mineen had informed him of his death and how it's going to take place. Even then, he didn't stop loving Ali ibn Abi Talib, did he? He didn't. On the other hand, a contrasting issue is that the people who do not take or who do not react to exhortations and who do not react to reading the Islamic books, for example, and who do not react to good preaching, for example, what happens is their sense perceptions are frozen. For they may have a concept in the head, but there is no belief in there. Coming to the mosque is one thing, that is a concept. But believing in coming to the mosque is another. Knowing that Karbala took place is one thing, it's a concept. Even the Western academians know this, that Karbala took place. But believing in Karbala is another. Therefore, it is necessary for us, whenever we hear anything or we read anything, to combine intellect with emotion in order for ourselves to be transformed. Otherwise, if we do not react to exhortations, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the examples of such is like a living corpse. You see, when a person dies, his sense perceptions are all frozen. That's natural in a corpse. It's natural. But when a person is living, it is not natural. But Allah says, لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. These type of people have got hearts. Yes, they do. But they do not understand through the heart. They have eyes. Yes, they can see light. They can see red and white. They can see TV. But they do not see the right. They have ears with which they listen to music probably. But they don't listen to the truth. Now, when such a situation takes place in a person, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Holy Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, sawa'un alayhim a'anzartahum am lam tunzirhum la yu'minun. It is equal, O Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that whether you warn them or you do not warn them, they will never believe. They will not believe. They will just not believe. Simple. Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib says in Nahj al-Balagha, the best exhorter is the one self. For people can come here, talk and go, 12 days, 15 days, 20 days, they can come, say this, that, do research, give you history, give you hadith, give you ayats and go. But the change can only be made from within. And I always say this in my lectures when I travel, that we rather look at the person who is talking as to how he is talking, as to how he is sitting, as to is he an orator or is he just a joker. But we don't see what he's saying. This is something which is not needed really, because it is above us. This is something which should not happen in any community. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam says, see what is said, don't see who is saying it. Whether it is a Christian, whether it is a Muslim, whether it is a Wahhabi, whether it is whoever, see what he's saying. If it makes sense, contemplate intellectually on it. If it is sensible, act upon it and find the truth. But if our sense perceptions are frozen, if we cannot exhort ourselves from ourselves in from within, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already told the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَسَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُمْذِرُهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Whether you warn them, whether you crucify them, whether you take them wherever you want to take them, they will not believe. They will not believe. Having said that, the request that I am making is, during the 12 nights of this month of Muharram, whatever information that I have gathered to share with you needs contemplation and emotion mixed together. And it needs an individual to exhort oneself from within in order to transform and to pay allegiance to Hussein ibn Ali and to renew Salawat ala Muhammad. And to renew the bay'at and the allegiance on Hussein ibn Ali so that we are true followers and lovers of Ahlul Bayt Salamullahi Alayhi Majma'in. Having said that, it is the start of Muharram. It is the beginning of Muharram. It is the new year in the calendar of Muslims, where people celebrate with colors, with flags, with whatever they can. Islamic countries, they are holidays. But we, the lovers of Ahlul Bayt Salamullahi Alayhim, start this month with mourning. With mourning, with crying on Hussein ibn Ali. Because of the sacrifices that he had given. Not because we are a nation that is suppressed and that we need to take it out by crying for these 12 days in Muharram. No. But because of the sacrifices that Hussein ibn Ali gave, we come here, we gather here, we commemorate the martyrdom of Hussein ibn Ali salamullahi alayhi. Now the hadith that I have recited in front of you before says, Ya Fatima, the Holy Prophet says, O Fatima, Kullu aynin baqiyatun yawm al-qiyamah. Every eye shall weep, shall tear on the day of judgment. Kullu aynin baqiyatun yawm al-qiyamah. Illa aynun bakat ala musab al-Husayn. Except the eye that has wept, cried on the musibah and the atrocities on Hussein ibn Ali salamullahi alayhi. فَإِنَّهَا ضَاحِكَةٌ مُسْتَبْشِرَةٌ بِنَعِيمِ الْجَنَّةِ For that eye which weeps for Hussein ibn Ali shall be laughing on the day of judgment and shall be given good tidings of going to heaven. Going to heaven. Our crying on Hussein ibn Ali is not something new. It is not something that we have created. It is something that even the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. It is something that also Amirul Mu'mineen salamullahi alayhi did it. It is also something that the prophets before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam did. As there is a riwayat in Biharul Anwar, volume 44, page 135. And I have a copy for those who would like to refer to it. Sa'ad bin Abdullah asked Imam al-Hujjah al-Qa'im salamullahi alayhi, Ajallahu farajahu al-Sharif, on the tafsir of the huruf muqatta'at, which is in Surah Kaf Ha Ya Ain Sad. So Al-Qa'im gave him this tradition, and it goes this way. This is how it goes. And this the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was also informed by Jibreel through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that once Zakariya, the Prophet Zakariya, requested Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him some Asma'ul A'zam by which he would be happy or all his problems would dissolve. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel and said, here are the five names: Muhammad, Ali, Fatima, Hassan and Hussein. These are the five names that when you take, your problems will diminish, will finish. You will feel happy. So Janabe Zakariya started doing this wird. He started taking the names of the Spanjat, and every time he had a problem. But he noticed something very, very, very strange. And this is in Biharul Anwar quotation. I'm giving this hadith from Biharul Anwar. I've brought the copy here with me. So he said, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he said, Ya Allah, when I take the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my problems melt away. When I take the name of Ali, Fatima, Hassan, my problems dissolve, finish. I feel happy and masroor. But I don't understand one thing, Ya Allah. When I take the name of Hussein ibn Ali, I feel like crying. I cannot breathe properly. And what is the reason for that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel and said to Zakariya, go and tell Zakariya, O Jibreel, that he had asked for the tafsir of Kaf Ha Ya Ain Sad. tell him this is the tafsir. Kaf stands for Karbala. Ha stands for Halakatul Utra, i.e. the annihilation of the Holy Family. Ya stands for Yazid, the oppressor, the zalim, who did zulm on Hussein ibn Ali. Ayn stands for the atsh and the thirst of Hussein ibn Ali. And Saad stands for the sabr of Hussein ibn Ali. When Zakaria heard this, he did not move from his place for 3 days. It's mentioned in the riwayah. 3 days he could not move. And he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, is it so that the most beloved prophet of yours, his grandson is going to be martyred in this way? And Allah says, yes, that is the sacrifice I am going to offer. Zakaria prayed to Allah and said, Oh Allah, grant me a child who I would love so much, and then make me suffer the same atrocities that the prophet would suffer. And Yahya was granted to Zakaria. And Yahya was granted to Zakaria. Whereas we can see a lot of similarities between Yahya and Hussein ibn Ali's martyrdom. We see that both of their heads were chopped. We see that the sky cried twice. Once in the occasion when Yahya was martyred. Second in the occasion when Hussein ibn Ali was martyred. And both of them were in the womb of their mothers for 6 months. This is a riwayah. This indicates to us, to me and you, that not only we are here to cry on Hussein ibn Ali, but even the holy prophets like Zakaria cried on the musibah of Hussein ibn Ali. Not only us. Whereas you will find people telling us not to cry on Hussein ibn Ali, not to cry on Karbala, not to commemorate Karbala, not to understand what is Ashura. Why cry on Hussein when he has died 1400 years ago? What message did he bring for you and me so that we should cry today? The name of Hussein in itself is Shifa. Fatima to Zahra salamullahi alayha comes to every mahfil. Comes to every gathering where there is a dhikr of Hussein ibn Ali, and she wipes the tears from the people who cry on Hussein. Is this a small thing? Is this a small thing? But you will find people telling you not to cry. And this, in my coming lectures, inshallah ta'ala, I'll try and prove to you that these people are nothing but satanic. They are nothing but satanic. Why? Because if we take a small example for my children here to understand, for my youth, the kids here to understand. If we see that there is a train with 1,000 people on board, women, children, old people, everybody is in this train. And is going. There is a group in the corner which is deciding to derail this train so that when people die, they should steal the things from the people. One of the person has overheard their statements, their plan, that this train, when it comes, we are going to derail it. When it falls, people are going to die. By the time the police arrives, we'll have taken so many things. Correct? So the person who overhears this, he takes it on himself to go and save this train. He goes and he stands in front of the station, in front of the tracks. And he says, stop, don't come. But nobody listens. Nobody can see. The driver is busy driving, riding the train. And in the process, this man dies. But the train stops because he died. It didn't derail. Now, you tell me one thing. The people in the train, will they call him a foolish idiot or will they say he saved our life? What will they say? The 1,000 people in the train, all of them will say that this man has saved our life. He is our hero. Yet the group that had organized to derail this train will say he is a loser. He just gave away his life for no reason. Those 1,000 people in the train will commemorate this day. They will put photographs of this person in their houses because he saved our lives. Is there a doubt in our minds that Hussein ibn Ali saved Islam? That he sacrificed his entire family to save Islam? This institution that we are in is the institution that is saving me and you. to bow down our heads in front of tyrants. It gives us the confidence to stand in front of a tyrant and say, no, you are wrong. It gives us the courage to stand in front of any injustices happening in this world and say, no, by the name of Hussein ibn Ali, this is an unjust thing. And people tell us that it is not allowed to cry on Hussein ibn Ali, and it is not allowed to commemorate the martyrdom of Hussein ibn Ali, whereby we know that even the prophets have cried on Hussein. Ayatullah Muhammad Shirazi rahmatullahi alayh, Muhammad Hussein Shirazi, he has quoted sacrifice of mankind, savior of mankind. In his book he has quoted that in fact Ziyarat-e-Ashura has got no rawi, by the way. Ziyarat-e-Warith has got a rawi, Imam Ja'far Sadiq salamullahi alayh. But Ziyarat-e-Ashura has got no rawi. So where did this ziyarat come from? Ayatullah Muhammad Hussein Shirazi. Let me just tell you a brief thing about these ayatullahs. They do not quote a hadith unless they are sure that this is an authentic hadith. Because after all, they give fatwas. And unless they are sure by biographical studies that the person who has quoted this hadith is a trustworthy person, they will quote this hadith in their books. Otherwise, they will not do it. Otherwise, they will not quote this hadith, even if it is mentioned in gold. He says that the Ziyarat Ashura was dictated to Jibreel by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just imagination is needed here, brothers and sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dictated Ziyarat Ashura to Jibreel and told Jibreel to go and dictate it to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Holy Prophet dictated to Ali, to Fatima, to Hassan. And Imam Hussein, before even going to Karbala, knew about the Ziyarat Ashura. And thus, you find statements of Imam Hussein. It says, whenever you drink cold water, O my follower, whenever you drink cold water and you quench your thirst, just remember the sacrifice that I have done to save Islam. Imam Hussein being called the Warithul Anbiya for a small reason? No, there is a reason for that. And I shall mention these reasons, inshallah ta'ala, in the forthcoming nights. That why Hussein is called the Warith of Nuh? Why Hussein is called the Warith of Ibrahim? And why is he the inheritor of all these Anbiya, salamullahi alayhi? Therefore, our gathering here in the month of Muharram is not in vain. As I said, it is necessary for us not only emotionally to accept this, but to intellectually contemplate on these issues and combine both of these things in order for ourselves to transform, to become good followers and lovers of Ahlul Bayt, salamullahi alayhi majma'in. Now, in the forthcoming nights, I shall try and deliver to you what I have found in different places, and of course in the western part of the world especially, the difference between the 21st century house and the difference between the house of the prophets in the time of the prophets. How did a father act then? How should a father act now? How is a father acting now? How is a son acting now? And how was a son acting then? Are the houses that were there during those days different than the houses that are here now? Times may be different, of course. Technology, we have been advanced in technology, yes, fine. But what I'm talking about is faith, belief, characters. Is it going to be a comparison that we can follow, or is it just going to be a waste of time? To look at the examples of the prophets, to look at the examples of Hussein ibn Ali salamullahi alayhi, to look at the examples of Karbala, and to look at what Islam has teaching us. And how can we implement the rules of Islam in our lives, staying in this part of the world? Inshallah ta'ala, this is not the time now for me to dwell into these issues, but from tomorrow inshallah, I shall get into more detail for this. But just to say that It was 60 AH that Imam Hussein alayhi salatu was salam was told to leave Medina. He was asked to leave Medina. You know, people say that Imam Hussein and Imam Hassan has a big difference, and they are both one. Al-Hassan wal-Hussein imama qa'ada aw qama. Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein are both imams, whether they are seated or they are standing. Yet they say that Imam Hassan signed a peace treaty, whereas Imam Hussein stood up and fought with a sword. What's the difference? The difference, we'll see. The analogy which is in front of us is this: that during the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib salamullahi alayhi, we find that there are two ladies who came to the court of Umar, and they said, both of them claim that this child is mine. Both of them claim that this child is mine. So now they were all confused. They were confused. So was Umar confused as to whose child can this be. So what did he do? He said, okay, we'll do one thing. We'll call Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib and ask him, oh Ali, help us, for these solutions can only be tackled by yourself. So Imam Ali came, he looked at the two ladies and he looked at the child and he said, okay, I give a judgment. Let us cut the child in half. You take this half and you take this half. Both of you will be happy. Listening to this, the real mother said, no, Ya Ali, no. Let this woman take the child. At least he will be in front of my eyes. I will see it growing. But I don't want it dead. Something similar. Imam Hassan, Islam belonged to Imam Hassan. When he saw that Muawiyah was also claiming Khilafat, and he was also saying, I'm Amirul Mu'mineen, and that if Hassan ibn Ali would have taken a sword, there would have been a problem. Imam Hassan said, no, I will sign a peace treaty. At least the Islam in its infancy needs to grow. But when time comes, and as he knew that Imam Hussein will take up the sword and go and fight Yazid and his atrocities, he signed a peace treaty because he wanted to save Islam. It is his baby that he wanted to save. He wanted to see the child grow, Islam grow. And when Imam Hussein came, then in that year, sermons, khutbas, lectures were not the remedy. Signing peace treaties were not remedies anymore. He had to take a drastic measure. And for that, he says, O the religion of my grandfather, if you need my blood, then here I am, all ready to come. Swords, take me, tear me apart to save the religion that my grandfather had brought. He was in Medina. And the time he wanted to leave Medina, the best places that Hussein could visit was the grave of the grandfather, the Prophet, the grave of his mother, and the grave of his brother Hassan. He went to the grave of the grandfather and he said, Ya Rasulullah, the time has come for which you had reported and told me that there is going to be a time coming, O Hussein, whereas your family is needed with you to go and give up this supreme sacrifice. He went to the graveyard of the Prophet and said, Assalamu alayka ya Rasulullah, I seek leave, I need to go, I am going. The time has come. He stood up from there after a lot of contemplation and he went to the grave of Lady Fatima, the mother of Hussein. He goes to the grave of the mother and he says, Ya Ummah, oh my mother, the time has come for me to leave your grave now. The time has come for me to go. I am not only taking Sakina, I am also taking Ali Asghar with me. I am taking my family, my dear, my Zainab, I am taking with me. For the time has now come for me to perform my supreme sacrifice. He then went to the grave of his brother Hassan. And he bid his farewell there. He came and he gathered the ladies and the children of the household. Amongst them, there was this daughter of Hussein called Sughra. and she was ill. She came to Hussein and said, "Father, are you not going to take me with you to Karbala or to wherever you are going?" Father said, "No, my dear daughter, you need to stay here in Medina." Sughra said, "But father, I am going to miss all of you. At least leave Ali Asghar with me. The six-month-old child, the three-month-old child then maybe. Leave this child with me so that I can bring it up." And the child was not even leaving Sughra. But Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam went to Asghar and said something in his ear. Whatever he said, immediately Asghar came to the arms of his father and said, and Hussein ibn Ali took him and gave him to Rabab and said, "Oh Rabab, even this child is going to fulfill his duty of saving Islam." And thus they left. Azizane Girami, ye waqt koi aasan waqt nahi tha Hussein ibn Ali par. Ke jab Madina gaye, jab Madina se ja rahe the, to Baba نانا کی قبر پہ جا کے کہنے لگے, السلام علیکہ یا رسول اللہ, یہ آخری سلامی ہے میری آپ کو کہ میں آپ کا روضہ چھوڑ کے جا رہا ہوں. یا رسول اللہ, آپ کو تو پتا ہے, آپ کو تو معلوم ہے کہ جب بھی مجھے مشکل پڑتی تھی میں آپ کے قبر پہ آتا تھا, دعائیں پڑھتا تھا, آپ کا واسطہ دیتا تھا اور مشکل حل ہو جاتی تھی. یا رسول اللہ, نانا اب وقت آ چکا ہے جس کی خبر آپ نے مجھے دی تھی. اس کے بعد امام حسین ابن علی اپنی ماں کی قبر پہ جا کے کہنے لگے, اے امی, ماں میں جا رہا ہوں زینب کے ساتھ, سکینہ کو لے کے جا رہا ہوں, علی اصغر کو بھی لے کے جا رہا ہوں. ماں جب مشکل ہوتی ہے تو ماں کو یاد کرتے ہیں سب, ہے نا. حسین جب کربلا میں تھے تو کون آیا تھا, کون آیا تھا نشیب میں جھاڑو لگانے کے لیے, حسین کا سر گود میں لینے کے لیے کون آیا تھا؟ ماں ہی تو تھی کہ جس کو آج حسین سلام کہہ رہے ہیں, خدا حفی سے کہہ رہے ہیں. اس کے بعد حسین حسن کی قبر پہ جا کے کہنے لگے, بھیا حسن, آپ نے تو صلح کی تھی آپ کے امامت کے بنا پہ, اب وقت آ گیا ہے کہ جب میرا خون اسلام کو بچانے والا ہے, میرا خون اسلام کو بچانے والا ہے. وآخر دعوانا عن الحمدللہ رب العالمین. ماتم حسین.